across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, if you say so, here we are. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, the 7th of May, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, social media, or by podcast. I've got a question for you. Do you get the difference between a spending cut and a price cut? Because it appears some of the people that would like Eric Hovde to defeat Tammy Baldwin are a little confused about that. And as a result, an ad attacking Tammy Baldwin had to be pulled and changed because of a misunderstanding of basic economics. We'll explain that in the next couple of minutes. It is starting to rain across the western edge of Wisconsin right now. Basically, if you're within the first 25 to 50 miles of the border with Minnesota or Iowa, you're getting some rain. Grantsburg, Amory, down to Arcadia, Onalaska, Boscobel, you know, places east of there. Nothing yet, but it will be on the way, and we'll get more about your forecast coming up a little later this morning. You can also reach us throughout the course of the show here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can use the Civic Media app to reach out to us or put a comment on one of the many Facebook pages where we broadcast, the Up North News Facebook page, Civic Media, Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, and more. And you can always email us. That address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Coming up this morning, well, it's Tuesday, so we'll hear from two of my Up North News colleagues. Sherita Booker, our social media manager, will tell us what's been especially popular and heavily clicked of our social media posts. Christina Laurie edits our newsletter and chases down some stories now and then, and she has had a fascination with the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile for some time, and she has taken that interest to a new level and tells us all about meeting one of the hot doggers who serve as ambassadors and navigators for a 27-foot-long motorized Frankfurter. And so we'll have that discussion with Christina this hour. Then a couple of great guests in our second hour. We'll visit with Robert Craig, who leads Citizen Action Wisconsin, and we'll talk primarily about the topic of medical debt and what can be done yet with healthcare reform to reduce the incidences of personal bankruptcy because of healthcare concerns. And then at 7:30, we will talk to Congressman Mark Pocan and find out what, if anything, is coming out of the halls of Congress these days as the slim Republican majority continues to fight amongst themselves. So all that and more. Chad Holmes as well on the way. 6 a.m. temperatures across Wisconsin are without a doubt the warmest that they have been so far this spring, which feels really good as we keep putting distance between ourselves and that cold weather from not that terribly long ago now. Lake Wissota, we're at 59 degrees, Hayward 56, Park Falls 53, Wausau 54, Green Bay's at 55, La Crosse is the warm spot at 62 degrees already this morning, Wisconsin Rapids is at 57, Oshkosh 56, Madison at 60 degrees, and it is 52 warm, wonderful degrees where we find the warm and wonderful Greg Bach standing by in Waukesha. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Pat Breitlow Show.
I sometimes wonder that drive that you make is about how long? 40 minutes?
50 minutes.
50 minutes, and it seems like many days you're composing a new Pat Breitlow Show jingle.
Oh, I've got a collection of them. I've got an anthology.
An anthology.
And they should be released 100 years after my passing.
Well, under the category Today I Learned, although it was actually back on Saturday, but I learned there's a song out there that's actually named Breitlow.
What?
And it, let me back up a step. We're meeting some of my wife's colleagues, you know, in the clinic system. So mm-hmm. these are folks who are in Eau Claire, and Sherry does most of her work in Rice Lake.
Yeah.
So we're talking to these folks in Eau Claire, and one of them brought a spouse along, and she's kind of giving me this look. And eventually she says, as often happens these days, it takes longer for people to go, oh, you're Pat Kreitlow, that guy from TV, because the guy on TV was 20 years younger, more than 20 pounds lighter, not nearly this gray on top. But at some point it clicks into them like, hey, you look like that guy on TV. You look like you could be his grandpa. And I say, yeah, that was me.
Ouch.
Yeah. And then she says, you know what? Basically, she says one of her favorite bands, which is called not Jägermeister, but the Jaggernauts.
Okay.
And they're kind of, I guess she described them as kind of a punk rockish band.
Okay.
And, you know, some bands name their songs after things that are not necessarily, you know, in the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, for example, Nirvana, is the line Smells Like Teen Spirit in that song anyplace?
No. Nope.
I have no idea. There's a song called Kreitlow. And I said, shut up. And she said, yeah,
and
really.
She's like, that's a weird thing to say to a person you just met.
Yeah, but sure enough, I looked at them.
Shut
like,
up!
Oh my God, there's a song there. And
is it about you?
I can't quite make out all the lyrics, but I get the impression it's like they're in a dream or something, or they can't get to sleep or something. The lyrics kind of go all over. But I really like the beat to it. So it's like, look, this is Up North News Radio. This is not the Pat Kreitlow show. I'm hoping to have a Pat Kreitlow show someday, maybe, you know, after Up North News Radio, yeah. But right now I'm really liking what I'm doing here. But I feel like I already found the theme song, you know, if it actually comes up.
Well, so it's what the name of the band is what again?
The Jaggernauts.
The Jaggernauts. And it's spelled
not astronauts.
Like, and it's spelled
like
your,
Mick Jagger.
Yeah, yeah, but it's spelled like your last name.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
the song
so
is
interesting.
I know. I found it on Bandcamp, you know, the site for up and coming bands. So it's not that I don't appreciate your attempts to create a Pat Kreitlow jingle. We just might actually have one. That's already.
This was a long walk to tell me, Greg, your songs aren't up to snuff. That's what you're telling me.
No.
I don't appreciate it. I don't
Simply
like
saying
this.
You're part of a group project, whether you liked it or not.
This could have been an offline email saying, Greg, enough with the, we got it taken care of. You don't have to anymore.
It could have, but then I couldn't tell you how much I appreciate it. And I do. Tell you what.
Yeah,
if there ever is a Pat Kreitlow show, and it's 2 hours long like this one,
yeah,
I'll let them do one of the hours, and you have the other hour's jingle all to yourself.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be Jim Croce type. It's gonna be like, this is a Pat Kreitlow in the
time
morning.
In the bottle. Yeah,
if I could say Pat Kreitlow in a bottle, I'd be thrown in jail for my
Boy,
life.
Did you ever? Yeah, they frowned on that. All right. Well, the Brewers were losers yesterday in Kansas City. They actually started the game early, a half hour early, to try to avoid any thunderstorms that were moving into the area. So they got the game in, and the Royals had been struggling against Brewers starting pitcher Bryce Wilson for the first six innings last night. But after he was replaced in the seventh inning, the Royals scored three runs off reliever Jared Kinnig for a come-from-behind 3-2 win. Gary Sanchez hit a two-run homer for the only significant Brewers offense. They'll do it again tonight. Colin Ray will get the start, and then they'll play again tomorrow afternoon before heading home for a series versus the Cardinals starting Thursday. You can hear this evening's game starting at 6:10 on News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN Racine Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. It's exactly 6:15 right now, and I wanted to get to the story about one of the groups that would like to see Eric Hovde defeat Tammy Baldwin and the big oopsie that resulted from it. Basically, the headline will say something like, this billionaire's PAC is spreading a big lie about Tammy Baldwin, Medicare, and taxpayer savings. And it all comes from a PAC called Restoration PAC. It is funded by Richard Eline from the company Uline, and it basically just twists the significance of the Inflation Reduction Act and all the many ways it is saving money for the government, meaning you, the taxpayers, as well as for Medicare recipients. And this was brought to my attention by a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday That said, Restoration PAC had to replace an ad that claimed that Tammy Baldwin voted to, quote, cut Medicare funding and use it for something else. Progressive attorneys from the Elias Law Group reached out to an advertising purchaser to tell them about the ad, and the ad was pulled and replaced. Now, Richard Uihlein of Uihlein, and it's because Uihlein, you've seen the company, U-L-I-N-E. The last name Uihlein is U-I-H-L-E-I-N, and it's part of the Schlitz Brewing family fortune. And Richard Uihlein and his wife Elizabeth have already given more than $35 million to right-wing PACs and candidates in this cycle alone. He was one of the billionaires, along with Diana Hendricks and Beloit, who basically dragged Ron Johnson across the finish line by pouring so many millions of dollars into ads that were critical to a fault of Mandela Barnes in his race. So now Dick Uihlein is trying to do this again to Tammy Baldwin, but got called out when the ad falsely claimed, in a way that's been repeatedly debunked, on how President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, because it allows Medicare to now negotiate with big pharmaceutical companies for bulk pricing on drugs for Medicare recipients, it's saving the government money. It's saving us money. It's saving taxpayers at least $162 billion over a 10-year period. And some Republicans and conservatives have tried to make it sound as if Medicare were therefore facing a $162 billion cut, when it's not. Medicare recipients aren't just getting the same benefits, they're actually getting better benefits. But because the federal government can now negotiate for bulk pricing with the drug companies, something that Republicans had blocked for 20 years, you're getting the same Medicare services and then some, for less money spent on it. But they wanted to somehow pervert the meaning to say that Tammy Baldwin and others were cutting Medicare, when that was certainly not the case. It's the taxpayers saving money for the same and even better services. And that just goes to show you to what depths Tammy Baldwin's opponents like Eric Hovde or allies like the Restoration PAC are willing to go to try to muddy up this race. On the other side of this break, we will catch up with Sherita Booker, and then shortly after that, Christina Lurie, all on this Tuesday morning, live from Lake Wissota. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlau. Program where we talk to our social media manager, Sherita Booker, who puts up things on all of the Up North News social media platforms, and we get around to what's being read the most, clicked the most, watched the most, shared the most. Sherita, how are you doing today?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Good. It's something about how some stories just have some staying power, and unfortunately for Senate candidate Eric Hovde, the internet is still getting some traction out of his attempt to say the Pledge of Allegiance and everything that resulted from it. So one of our posts got a lot of traffic. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, so as some of you may already know, we talked about this last week. He was in Slinger, and during his Pledge of Allegiance, he left out the phrase, "One Nation Under God." And he also ended it with an amen, and it's not a prayer. This moment was compared to a sitcom about a fictional vice president's many awkward moments on the Rachel Maddow show on MSNBC. And she played the clip while incorporating the closing credits of the show Veep, while also having a good laugh. Leah left a comment saying, "So he's not into the One Nation part." And Roxanne said, "Oh." Smith and Gallagher said, "I saw this segment on MSNBC and knew you posted, and it was hilarious and at the same time sad that he even has a platform." We don't miss a beat, said Smith and Gallagher.
It's true. It's true. We look, you only get comedy gold like that so often. And when it happens, I mean, you got to run with it. And then at the end, again, as the fictitious credits are rolling, the marching band is playing the national anthem, and you see Hovde there with his hands in his pockets, and he looks over and he sees the guy next to him has his hand on his heart. So he right away pulls a hand out of his pocket and puts it on his heart. Like, he's never gone through this before. It was just so strange, but clearly people noticed. And yeah, the word cringeworthy got used a lot here. Let's head to Milwaukee for another story that was extremely popular. And downtown Milwaukee, obviously, it's like all cities, changes over the years. And I had been away from the city for quite a while. And when I came back, 7-8 years ago and went downtown, you can't help but see it's right there off 794, the Milwaukee Public Market. And it's just a gorgeous place. And folks notice it not just in town, but all over the country. Sharita?
Yep. It was named America's Best Public Market because it's a gathering, it's a gathering place where great taste is always in season. And that post got almost 400 likes on Instagram. And I would like to say one of my favorite places to eat there is at St. Paul Fish Company. They have the best lobster rolls. They have really great fried shrimp and fried perch, and it's always nice and crispy. And then you have to try their Bloody Marys also, because it comes with the salmon jerky, which tastes like bacon, and it's super good.
Oh, for crying out loud. Now I got to go back. I mean, and as I was looking at the list here, there was as well a place called Pat's Rib Place. And that must be relatively new. I don't remember seeing that before.
It is. And I haven't tried it yet, but the menu options look great. The food looks great. And that'll be my next thing to try when I go there again.
Oh, there's a candy shop. There's Thai-namite, like with Thai food, the Green Kitchen, the Foltz Family Market that makes pizza. It's just an absolute must hit. Next time anybody's travels, take them down to Milwaukee, save some time to get downtown and give that a try. And I'm glad so many people liked it. It's nice to see that kind of popularity for, you know, downtown resurgence down there.
Yep, and a little low Milwaukee.
All right, from Milwaukee, let's head to Seymour, and a special delivery of sorts by a local UPS driver. Let's hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, UPS driver John Strand was passing through Seymour when he saw a cow in labor. He said the calf was out and still had the sack over his face. So John jumped into action and hopped the fence and pulled the calf out. And more good news with that, both the cow and the calf are healthy. And the owners decide to name the female calf after him, which is Joni. That post had almost 400 likes. And Terry said, wow, UPS really does deliver. Rosemarie said, we need more people like him in the world. And we sure do.
Well, we do, because, you know, plenty of people would pass by going, oh, gosh, that's I hope the farmer knows about that or whatever. And other people just leap into action. And look, I married a farm girl, and I couldn't even start to tell how many calves she's helped deliver over the years. Whether I could do this passing by, I'm not so sure. Sharita, you and I might both look at each other like, ain't never seen anything like that before.
Me neither. Like, okay, do I have gloves in the car?
But thankfully, we've got people like John there, who now has a calf, Joni, named after him, because not all heroes wear capes, but sometimes they wear a UPS uniform. So for that and so many other social media posts, some of it about our reporting, some of it about the stories that other folks are sharing all around Wisconsin, just look for Up North News on all of your favorite social media platforms. Sharita Booker, thanks so much as always. Have a great day.
You too, Pat.
All right, we're just a few minutes away from Pam Yonke and the Midwest Farm Report. Then my colleague Christina Lurie will be here and talking all about the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and the young college-age ambassadors who take it all around the country and the kinds of activities that they have to take part in. Tomorrow on the program, it'll be Wednesday, so that means we'll have our Climate Check report with Melissa Baldoff, and we'll have our homeroom segment. And it's especially important this week since it is Teacher Appreciation Week. So I'm sure we will be talking about the many ways that we don't only appreciate teachers this week, but could do a better job of respecting them all year long. The Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed late last week that they are going to take up the case and decide whether mobile voting sites are legal, and they're going to take it up directly without having it go through appeals courts first. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a right-wing law firm, said just about a year and a half ago on behalf of the Racine County Republican Party that they believe Racine City officials illegally used a voting van to collect absentee ballots that year. A circuit court judge ruled in January that state law doesn't allow mobile voting sites to operate. The Racine city clerk and the Democratic National Committee asked the state Supreme Court in February to review the case directly and skip the appeals court process. And because progressives now control the court by a 4-3 margin, thanks to the election of Janet Protasiewicz, the majority progressive justices agreed to take on the case, which may increase the likelihood of a reversal from that county judge's ruling. And it really does come down to a couple of things here. First off, much like drop boxes for absentee ballots, do these things that assist people in voting have to be spelled out, every little detail, that's the only thing that, say, city and county elections officials can work on? Or by the nature of their job, which is to, you know, facilitate voting, do they have wide berth to engage in activities that assist citizens in voting? And of course, the other thing that it brings to mind as well is that, again, to this day, in this era of American politics, who thought we'd see a time where one political party was so committed to making it harder for Americans to vote, making it harder for qualified citizens to vote rather than easier? Christina Lurie coming up, followed by today's history lesson. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
All right, most of the time we play Bill Withers to bring in Christina Lurie to do the uplift. I feel like the Oscar Mayer jingle would work better just because we're going to talk about... You are going to learn so much about the Wienermobile before this segment is done. But first, there were other seasonal activities that were going on. Christina, good morning. Understand you were recently in the Crazy Legs race in Madison, but not racing so much.
Yeah, I take the race out of it. I just do it for the fun community. Getting to how often do you get to do an 8K? First of all, that's a very random length.
And
you get to do it with Bucky while all the money is supporting Wisconsin Athletics. So it's always the last weekend of April every year. It's called the Crazy Legs Classic, named after Crazy Legs, the football player, of course.
Crazy Legs Hirsch, yeah.
Yes. And all the money goes to Wisconsin Athletics. So it's a great cause. I'd recommend it to anyone. And usually end of April, I mean, I think that there were a couple of years where it snowed during the race. So this year did fare well in the weather department. You never know what you're going to get here. Could be a blizzard. Also could be a high of 80.
Yes. I've run it one time 7 or 8 years ago, and it was cloudy with flurries, but it still ends inside the bowl of the stadium, right?
Yes.
So you've done this 8K. And, you know, in this case, I'm running it. And then you turn the corner and realize you get to go through, you know, an entrance that not a lot of people get to enter. And you come in like right through the end zone and you work your way across the field. And then the finish line is on the other side of the football field. And then you can go right up into the stands and kind of rest and watch everybody else that's kind of coming in to finish. It was definitely one of the more unique, I was going to say 5Ks, but this was 8 that I'd ever been in. It's very interesting. So it's kind of fun to hear that you were walking that one.
Yes. And I have to say, I was a little envious because so when I went to school, I know I've mentioned it before. You guys are probably sick of it. I went to school at Illinois, and the only race that they have there where you're finish on the 50-yard line of their Memorial Stadium, like our Camp Randall, is either a half marathon or a marathon. So I thought that it was going to be a genius idea freshman year. Like, what better way to just like preemptively combat the freshman 15 than to sign up for a marathon at the end of your first year? So that's what I did. And I ran a whole 26.2 miles. If any of you have been to Champaign-Urbana, I love the place. There are not 26.2 scenic miles to run there. And I ran 26 of them just for that last 0.2 finish inside Memorial Stadium. I would not recommend that race. Stick to Crazy Legs. I think Wisconsin knows what it's doing here. You just run that 8K, you get a solid workout in, and then can go right to the cheese curds.
Exactly. And look, if you're all done with the run or the walk, you need a ride, you can always try to hitch one. And with any given luck, you know, an Oscar Mayer Wienermobile might come by and fit the bill. And you've done a couple of different stories about the Wienermobile because, of course, Oscar Mayer has had a connection to Madison in the past. So people are amused by the Wienermobile all over the country and may not understand the Wisconsin connection to it.
Well, when I first moved here, I was just amazed by how many times I saw the Wienermobile here. And I was just like, I, you know, previously when I spotted it in the Chicago area where I'm from, it was like, I mean, the greatest thing because I could count on one hand the number of times I've seen it in my entire life. And then I moved here and I was seeing it multiple times a month. I was like, what's up? Like, and as it turns out, I should have known Oscar Mayer's Wienermobile headquarters is in Madison. So it makes sense that I'm seeing more of these. And I just, you know, every year I feel like I peel back another layer of what's up with the Wienermobile and it just excites me every single time. So I hope other people are still as enamored as I am with it. But this year I decided that it was finally time. I needed to get myself on board this 27-foot long hot dog with wheels. So I made it happen. I called up my connection, a former journalist who actually interned for me at the TV station I worked at in Madison. She has been a hot dogger for the past year, right? It's a program that's actually more difficult to get in than Harvard. That school accepts 4% of applicants. Oscar Mayer accepts just 1%. To become a hot dogger and what you do, it's only available to recent grads the first year after graduation from college. They travel 20,000 miles, 16 states, more than 40 cities for a full year on the Wienermobile. And they're basically Oscar Mayer's ambassadors. They're passing out hot dog whistles. They're going to community events. They're sometimes up, you know, Sam, who I interviewed and tagged along with, she was explaining to me that, you know, I was trying to ask her like what a typical day in the life is. And basically what I learned is that there's no typical day in the life. She's like, sometimes we're up at 6 a.m. to make it to the next city. Other times we're loading into a parade lineup at 8 p.m. at night. And, you know, her typical weekends are Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So it's a very atypical job, but it's truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Well, especially from the standpoint of, you know, networking. And for a lot of people, their first job should really be about, you know, how many people can you meet? How much can you learn? And boy, to be doing this in a Wienermobile instead of a stuffy cubicle someplace, it's pretty cool.
Very cool. And it's also for people like Sam. So Sam is interested, obviously, since she interned at a news station in college. She's interested in possibly pursuing journalism. She says she's had a few job offers. She's currently like looking through them. She's unsure if she wants to go into that or marketing, sales, business, PR, HR. She has limitless options, but all of them, she has skills that would fit any of those roles that she learned from spending a year in a rolling hot dog, which you wouldn't necessarily think, but she has to set up a lot of these events herself. She calls ahead and makes connections with city planners, people who from nonprofits. You know, she said it's about like 50-50 of someone from Oscar Mayer corporate making her schedule and her getting to devise her own events. Sometimes they'll just send her to a city and give her free rein and she can go form as many what they call meet-ups.
Meet-ups, M-E-A-T. Yeah, I get it.
As they want in different cities. So it's fun. She feels like a little bit party planner, a little bit ambassador. I did ask her, I was curious. So her region that she's been traveling for the past year is the Midwest, to the southeastern United States, that chunk. She's gone to 16 different states there. I was curious what area, like, is most excited about the Wienermobile? Because kind of like when I moved here, I felt like people weren't as excited and I felt like there was something wrong with them. But they're just, you know, we see it so much here. She said two places. First, Chattanooga, Tennessee. They were really just randomly excited. And she said she had a really fun week there. Tennessee as a whole was generally excited about the Wienermobile. And then she also got the chance to go take the Wienermobile back to her small hometown of Nelson, Wisconsin, in the Mississippi River Valley.
Yeah.
Population of just 300 people. The Wienermobile, they were able to look at past records, had never been within 50 miles of that city. So she, her exact quote, it was funny. I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. She said, "The Wienermobile and I were the talk of the town." And I just think that put it perfectly because, I mean, it's just cool for her to share her current passion. And we did a story on her when she first started her year here. And I just this week published a follow-up to that, like, you know, as she nears the end of her hot dogging term, what that's like. And definitely she told me privately that the people of her town thought just the fact that she was like in a news article was cool to begin with. So shout out if anyone's listening from Nelson. Your town sounds beautiful.
Oh, without a doubt, of course. Of course, now I had to go, you know, to the, you know, the interwebs and find out what I could learn about the Wienermobile through trivia and things like that. The Wienermobile was created by Oscar Mayer's nephew, Carl Mayer. Do you have it in front of me? Do you know the year?
No, I don't. Are you quizzing me?
I'm quizzing you. It's not a real quiz because I didn't tip you off. 1936.
No, I was going to guess. I was going to guess 1927.
Okay.
So was I within 10?
Yes, you were. Okay. Yeah. Something. I got a kick out of the Wikipedia entry, of course, has to get into great detail so that we know that it was throughout the 70s. It was on a 1969 Chevy motorhome chassis with Ford Thunderbird taillights. In 76, it was given a makeover with, you know, the latest technology involving fiberglass and styrofoam. In 1995, you mentioned that it's 27 feet long. In 1995, that's when it was enlarged. I guess you could supersize your Wienermobile. And for the first time, the windows would be able to open in there. I can't imagine being stuck in there all day long and you couldn't get the windows open.
They do have a nice skylight.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right. And then in, 2023, last year, we remember, we've talked about it on this program, one of the few shameful moments in the Oscar Mayer era where they tried to change the name to the Frankmobile as if they thought any of us were going to go along with that. It lasted all of 6 months.
I do have a bone to pick. If anyone from Oscar Mayer just happens to be listening to this, when you Google Wienermobile, and I did that because I don't typically type that word, and I was not sure if it was I-E or E-I. Mm-hmm. Somehow I thought it was W-E-I-N-E-R, and that is not correct. However, when you type that into Google, the first thing that comes up is Wienermobile with the official Oscar Mayer Wienermobile page, and it's spelled that way. But then when you click on it, all of the Wienermobile spellings inside that story are IE, the correct way. So I would love if somebody could fix that. That would be great. I don't know how to get this message to them.
Don't you think that that was on purpose for, you know, what those of us in the business call SEO, search engine optimization, that they knew people weren't going to know. So you put it in both ways, but then you bring them into the page that has it the right way.
Maybe it was strategic. So maybe this thing here is spelling doesn't matter, kids.
Who cares about spelling if there's a, you know, a 27 foot long motorized wiener, you know, going through your neighborhood? It's just a lot of fun that way. So you got, this is like the big adventure now. I mean, you will never be able to.
I've peaked.
Yeah, you've peaked in terms of the Wienermobile. Now you need to find something else. You need to find, remember when Johnsonville had, like, they turned a semi-trailer into like the world's largest grill or something like that? We should find out if anybody else is doing anything like this, unique with vehicles.
What's funny you say this. So I actually am starting in our newsletter a segment called Weird Wisconsin. This is just a working title. And there are just so many, like, really just what it is, weird things happening in Wisconsin. I mean, in your neck of the woods, it's, I know it's normal to you, but it is not normal to the rest of the world to have a giant six pack full of beer just off the side of the road.
As they do in lacrosse. Yes. Yes.
So yep. I, if anyone has anything else weird, like, can you email me or find my Facebook page and send me a message? Cause I'd love to check it out. I'm just interested in things that people are not covering. And that's what we try to focus on in our newsletter. You know, the world is just filled with so much crappy news, negative headlines, and we have so much good to celebrate here in Wisconsin, especially in the warmer months. So please let me know.
So much crappy news. I feel seen all of a sudden. But yes, it's why we got you here once a week to lift up our spirits and introduce us to some of the fun things about Wisconsin, including Wienermobiles. And again, to send a note, send a news tip about any of these stories, how should they do that?
Well, they can either email me, Christina, C-H-R, Lori, L-O-R-E-Y, at upnorthnewswi.com. You can find my Facebook page, Christina Lori. Just shoot me a message that way if that's easier for you. Or just go to upnorthnewswi.com and click the button at the top, subscribe to our newsletter. It's free, arrives in your inbox every day. But if once I feel like we don't advertise this enough. If you're not like a check your email every day type of person and you signing up for a daily emailed newsletter sounds awful to you, you can select an option to only get it once a week, which I think is great. You know, maybe you're retired and you don't want to be checking your email every day. I'm unfortunately have to be glued to my email for work, but you know, I'm looking forward to the days when I don't have to and can be a weekly newsletter subscriber as well. So there's an option for everyone.
I'm waiting for the day when I can finally subscribe to a newsletter that tells me about all the newsletters that are in my mailbox and that I don't have to read all of them. It'll just be a summary of the best.
Hey, that's probably coming. I feel like that'd be actually pretty easy to program for AI.
It's kind of like this whole bundling thing. If we just keep bundling these channels enough times, you will have reinvented cable. I mean, that's all we're talking about.
Well, in newsletters, they keep getting longer and longer. Soon, they're just going to call them a newspaper.
A newspaper. We should just print them out. Yes. All right, Christina, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
We've got today's history lesson coming up next. You're up north. Nice little George Harrison guitar strumming to kick things off at 9 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Tuesday. The former Beatle released this tune, Give Me Love, on this day in 1973. Also in today's history lesson, hey, congratulations to Vladimir Putin. Today celebrating 24 years since he became president of Russia. And today is also kicking off a new term as the still president of Russia. I have a feeling if you'd listen carefully 24 years ago today, I think people heard him say, I just want to be a dictator on day one. turns out it doesn't work that way. And you can call yourself president, but trust me, he doesn't call himself president, supreme ruler, dear leader, whatever it is that he wants people to call him at that moment. So congratulations, Vlad. Good to know we're going to have you around for a little while longer. On this day in 1824 came the world premiere of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony in Vienna, Austria. It's a long piece, of course, but there are a couple of different parts you may be familiar with. You may know this part of Beethoven's Ninth by the choral symphony that is included within it. Give a listen. Yes, that would be Ode to Joy is part of it. But there's another part much closer to the beginning that Americans actually heard on their TV every night from the late 50s to the late 60s. The precursor to NBC Nightly News was the Huntley-Brinkley Report, and they took this part of Beethoven's Ninth to introduce the Nightly News. And while we're on the subject of NBC News, a bittersweet anniversary, this would have been the 74th birthday for Tim Russert. the truly last great journalist at NBC, the moderator of Meet the Press, who absolutely gave no wiggle room to politicians who came on for the things that they said, held them to account, did his homework. This is some of how his colleague Tom Brokaw made the announcement that Tim had passed away in 2008.
Our beloved colleague, one of the premier journalists of our time, Tim Russert, died this afternoon after collapsing at work at the NBC News Bureau in Washington, D.C. And I think I can invoke personal privilege to say that this news division will not be the same without his strong, clear voice. He'll be missed as he was loved greatly. I'm Tom Brokaw, NBC News in New York.
Again, Tim Russert, born 74 years ago today. On this day in 1977, the Eagles hit number one with this instant classic. Now you're saying to yourself, are we going to hear Don Henley start to sing the first verse? Maybe not. This ramp runs for 52 seconds on a record that goes for over 6 minutes.
We're playing the whole thing.
But it gives me time to tell this story from this day in 1968 when a guy riding home from his band gig, a keyboard player named Reginald Dwight, was looking for a stage name to use for his solo career. There were two people on the plane who were in his band. One was Elton Dean. The other was lead singer Long John Baldry. And he asked if he can appropriate their names to concoct a new one. So it was on this day in 1968 that the name Elton John was born. Hey, I got it in before Don. How do you like that?
That was perfect.
It's like all those years as a DJ at the college radio station would finally pay off. And they did. 4 decades later. Wonderful. The number one song this day. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not the number one. It's a birthday. Thelma Houston is 78 years old today. And she had a big old disco hit in 1976. Again, 78 years old today for Thelma Houston. Eagle Eye Cherry, that's his real name, is 55 years old today. This would be his top single that was on the charts.
Say tonight, fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow.
A little bit earlier, we played Terrence Trent D'Arby. He hit number one with Wishing Well on this day in 1988, mostly because MTV was playing that video over and over and over and over and over and over again. And in 2005, Gwen Stefani hit number one with Holla Back Girl, which we will play a little bit later on in the program. On the national calendar today, it's National Tourism Day. It's World Asthma Day. It's Bladder Cancer Awareness Day. It is Barrier Awareness Day for people with disabilities. So it's a good time to take a look around your surroundings, especially, say, in the workplace, and see if there are some barriers that maybe you've looked past, but could maybe fix those to alleviate access by others. This is National Foster Care Day. This is National Home Brew Day. So for my buddy Kevin and everybody else who brews their own at home, that's a day for you. This is Packaging Design Day, where we're supposed to appreciate creative packaging design, which is fine. I'll recognize it as long as we can also all agree that whoever designed the packaging for compact discs back in the day, the plastic wrap that couldn't come off unless you basically broke the case, if we can agree there's a special place in hell for that person and a few other really tough to open packages, then I'll celebrate the creative ones as well. Because you get those things.
And that concludes Pat's Rants for Tuesday.
May 7th. No, you know what? Another one.
He's still going, folks. He's still going.
Apple has this beautiful packaging. Yeah. Whether you're getting an iPhone or a MacBook or whatever. But then you go to kind of break it down, to put it in the trash or the recycling. And I mean, it's It's not super glue that they're using. It's something stronger than that, and not it doesn't lend itself well to the recycling pile.
There are people who are listening right now, Pat, who are clutching their pearls going, "You throw away the boxes?"
Oh my gosh, I finally did. I had so many boxes. Yeah. So many iPhones, iPods,
I had iPads. A box of boxes.
I've got the iMac that this show is done on is it's a monster box. It's now in the garage, going to go out with the trash next week. I might bring it in during the news here. And finally, this is National Cosmo Day. The drink, not the magazine. Little vodka, cranberry juice, triple sec, lemon juice. Perfect breakfast drink for people with severe problems. Please don't be one of those. We will be talking to Robert Craig from Citizen Action and Congressman Mark Pocan, all in the second hour of Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.